Realty Nation. It's your host, Abhi Golhar. Welcome to the Think Realty Podcast. I've got a good one for you today. In fact, it's not just good. It's not even great. It's outstanding. All right. That's all I got to say. We're talking about how do you raise equity and what it means to be a smart real estate investor. Coming from one of the top guys over at Civic Financial. Check him out, civicfs.com. My buddy, Jack Helfrich. And there's a gnat around me, so that's what I'm swatting. That's great. That just happened. I'm excited to have a conversation with him today because there are a lot of things that you need to know about raising equity for your real estate deal. There are a lot of stories here, and there are many real estate investors' careers built on that statement. How do I raise equity? It's a big conversation. I'm ready to have it. Let's go. RealtyTrack is the leading source of foreclosure data for real estate investors and real estate agents. Receive the most up-to-date and trusted database of foreclosures, bank-owned properties, MLS listings, auctions, and short sales. Analyze property insights with comprehensive data and unlimited save searches with no need to pay per record fees. Visit RealtyTrack.com today to sign up and get started. Jack, welcome to the show, man. I'm excited to have you. Give us a little background on who you are and what you do, and hopefully there's no more gnat flying around me. I feel like I'm, you know, at a vineyard drinking wine, and you got all those gnats that are just right there, ready to jump in.
I was going to say, that's got to be some kind of sign. You're having some gnats flying around you. That can't be good.
Or maybe it's just the universe telling me I should shower once in a while.
Glad this is a podcast, and we're doing this virtual in that case. No, thank you for having me on, Abhi. I really appreciate it. As far as my background, I've worked with Civic Financial Services for almost 7 years since we started. I was lucky enough to be a part of the group that started the company, in a little conference room in our parent company at the time, Wedgewood Inc. And the rest is kind of history. We have since grown to almost $5 billion in production. Lifetime to date, and currently running around 130 to almost 200 million a month as far as debt to fix and flip investors, as well as rental loans for investors looking to build their rental portfolios. So, you know, between my experience on the debt side and doing flips myself, acquiring rental properties. I feel like I've have somewhat of an understanding of what investors, not only my clients, but what investors go through as far as raising equity, debt, and overall financing investments in general.
So there's a lot to talk about here. I'm surprised that you've done all the hard work. I mean, for guys like you and me, I mean, we're too good looking to do any hard work. I mean, I think we're built for more on-camera kind of work instead of taking a sledgehammer and, you know, going to town on a drywall.
His hands are very soft, I'll admit.
I know, same here, brother. So when it comes to building the right relationships, because that is one of the foundational elements of a good, solid investor. We've got to have the right relationships. How do you know whether it's a lender, whether it's a GC, a contractor that I'm going to hire because I don't do any hard work? How do I know who to trust?
That's a great question, and it's difficult. And quite frankly, I've gone through trial and error, unfortunately. And what I would recommend is I think references are huge. A lot of investors, especially starting off, I think it would be wise to go to conventions, to local real estate meetups, and just talk to other people that have been doing it successfully, that have kind of, you know, started their own businesses, because you can learn a lot from their experience, but they have gone through the same issues and trials and errors that you could avoid by getting their advice. So my recommendation, it's funny, you know, especially right now where the real estate market is so hot, ground up construction's big, remodels are big. It's hard to come by really great talent that's not busy. But, you know, do what you can. And a lot of these guys, specifically GCs, you know, they're great craftsmen. They're artists in some cases. They're not great with responses, and they're not great with texts and emails. So you may have to text them over and over again. just to get their attention and just to get them, you know, give yourself the opportunity to do a walkthrough of the property that you're planning on either fixing and flipping or, you know, doing some repairs before buying a rental or something along those lines. So as far as just building relationships overall, I'd recommend getting references from people who've done it in the industry, whether it's debt, whether it's potential equity investors, escrow, title. I mean, you know, in some cases we have title groups that provide title in 15 days. And that's just not competitive. You can't really close transactions with a 15-day escrow if your title alone is taking 15 days. So, you know, having good partners is so critical. I mean, I think that sounds kind of cliche because it's like, you know, obviously, but it's important to vet those up front.
So when it comes to the topic of raising equity, obviously lenders are looking at, hey, who is your team? Who is driving this project home? And one of the things that I appreciate about you guys is you'll actually even provide direction and guidance on, hey, you know, this GC, yeah, it looks like they've done a couple deals, but this is a really big deal. Like, this is a really big project you guys are working on. Is this GC even up for it? Maybe, maybe not. Here's the other thing that I would recommend that you cross-check with this GC before we give you a loan. Because in this world, as you know, it's not a matter of capital, it's the matter of how many deals are out there and can you put the deals together? Can you structure a deal that makes sense for everybody? And one of those pieces is execution. If you can't execute, then you got a lot of problems.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think that being able to put your team together is critical. And as far as raising capital, you know, I would say probably 90% of the investors out there don't have $2 million to go buy a $1 million property and put $300,000 in. So to do it all cash with their own capital is very rare. Good on you if you can. But if not, that's fine. Welcome to the rest of the world. And that's, you know, what really the business and the industry is made up of investors looking to raise capital, whether it's through equity, debt, or some other means. And so, if you're looking for equity, I think, you know, that's it's a fantastic way of doing business because there are a lot of pros to raising equity. I think you have flexibility, right? You're gathering investments, you're raising a fund, you have flexibility in being able to move quickly, right? Hopefully all those funds are in one account so that you can go and then make an offer and pay all cash. You know, sometimes if you have hands-off investors in that case, they don't really care what you're doing. They want to know the story. They want to know the vision, but they're not going to micromanage you throughout the process or the project. So that can be another benefit. But at times, you know, it can also be expensive, right? So a equity investor looking to invest in your project, and I know I'm kind of going on a tangent, we were talking about GCs, but I'm kind of jumping all over the place. I think it's applicable for investors. But as far as raising capital, if you have an investor or an individual, let's say it's a family or a friend that has a considerable amount of money that is interested in investing with you, why would they accept anything less than, let's say, an 8% return? And 8% is actually pretty low. Let's say a 10% return, because there are a lot of other opportunities that individual can go and insert their money and make other returns. You got stock markets, you got you know, bonds and savings accounts. Obviously, savings accounts are a little bit lower yield, right. But they're more secure. So that's actually not a recommendation of mine. But there are other avenues that you can go and invest your capital.
Yeah.
So their expectations may be to make more money investing with you, meaning the cost of your capital is then going up, meaning your margins need to be larger in order for you to make the same type of return that you expect. As far as on the debt side, you know exactly what that's going to cost. You can basically schedule out your payments, right? If I fix and flip this property within 6 months, I'll be paying an 8% annualized, meaning that's probably going to be this amount of dollars. My cost of down payment, you could also raise as equity from equity investors, or you could just do it out of your own pocket if you have the means. So you can actually mix and match the two, which is kind of what I would recommend, meaning don't go out and raise all your money through individuals, friends, and family. Yes, that might be more flexible, There might be less time constraints, but it's also going to be more expensive. Go out there and get some debt, especially cheap, flexible debt that can close quickly. Supplement that debt with other equity from friends and family, so it's not quite as expensive on your overall margin. And then, rinse and repeat. Do it as often as possible.
It's funny that you mentioned alternative potential areas where investors can put their money, like friends and family can put their money instead of your project. And if you're only offering 8% or 10%, it kind of depends, right? Like, I think maybe even sometimes for a fix and flip, 10% can still be a little low. But I'm with you, especially when they have opportunities like GameStop or Dogecoin or any of those. Salmon farming is another big one. Apparently, I didn't realize that Americans eat so much salmon every single year. Apparently, like, if you farm salmon, it's a pretty interesting business. But anyway, salmon farming aside, it's a point well taken, right? You have to make sure all your ducks line up in a row. Go get some solid debt, because that's going to be the cheapest money out there. Your equity will be a little more expensive. Now, let's talk about strategies, and maybe one more question for you. What are some of your top borrowers, your top investors doing in the market today? Are they doing fix and flips, ground up new construction? Are they building their rental portfolio? Are they thinking multifamily? What is the what's the strategy that you are seeing most borrowers use?
It's funny. The market is so strange right now because, again, you know, in my experience over the last 7 years working at Civic and then obviously flipping myself, you've gone from a market where you can make a good amount of money, you can make your expected margin on putting lipstick on a pig, and I'm talking about in 2014, 15, 16, maybe 17, it's starting to get a little bit, your margins start to squeeze in that sense. But lipstick on a pig and sell it and you can make 100 grand within 2-3 months. That was actually a pretty common scenario that we saw and financed during those date times. Then the market heated, then you had to be a little bit more creative. You had to invest a little bit more in the property, improve it a little bit better than just, you know, replacing carpet and, you know, cleaning the house and paint. You actually had to start adding square footage, and you had to start, replacing the electrical and some of the other things that are a little bit more annoying and time consuming. But you wouldn't receive the same type of margin if you didn't do that. So that was probably up until March, April, May or so, really before the market started to take off again. And so, you know, we've gone through almost two different transitions of the market that I've seen over the last 5 years. And now what we're seeing is investors getting back into the space because appreciation is so high right now, and it's so applicable that investors can buy up properties. Yes, they're paying more, but they can do less again to those properties and still make more, or still make that expected margin. And I'm saying between 15-20%, which is on a lot of investors' minds.
Yeah.
So it's so strange, and it truly is cyclical type of market. I mean, I literally had investors that went from fixing and flipping to focusing on ground up construction to a point where that wasn't even as profitable for them. So they were doing ground up construction on multifamily. So they were really just getting out, what I would describe as getting out of their comfort zone of single family residence improvements to being creative, trying to find that margin. But I think that has come back a little bit. Although I will advise, do not rely on appreciation. I think we'll probably talk about that a little bit later, but do not rely on appreciation. So I'm not saying it's necessarily a good thing that people are still making so much money just doing lipstick on a pig, but it's just kind of the state of the market of which I see it right now.
It's a good point. Let's talk about HPA, right? Like, when we talk about appreciation in the Atlanta market, as you know, Atlanta is one of the hottest markets in the country. We will see 5-7% a year, a month almost, depending on the neighborhood that you're in. And the problem that investors run into is they will say, yeah, I'll be up 30% in 6 months. All I have to do is wait, not do a whole lot, and that's it. But that's the wrong type of thinking, Because you're assuming that that level of appreciation will continue month after month after month. And that's not a strategy anybody wants to peg their success to. So talk to that for a second, then we got to wrap up because it's a really, really important topic, an important point that we should end on.
Well, like you said, Atlanta is one of those markets where that has been a popular strategy. And, you know, by all means, we'll acknowledge it as a lender. Support you and financing you, but our numbers that we're calculating on your behalf are going to be based on the assumption that appreciation doesn't exist when you buy this property. So we want to make sure that you're doing improvements that really will improve the value as opposed to just hoping that comps sell in the area for, you know, 10 to 20% higher than what you bought it for. So, you know, I would never put anybody in a position where the only way that you're going to make money is if the market goes up around you. That is just recipe for disaster and something that, you know, those investors, next time the downturn happens, those type of investors will be out or they'll have to completely shift their investment strategy.
Yeah. Or they can go back to watching HGTV and dreaming.
I like HGTV. I've got some clients on HGTV. So
no. Okay. Hey, no, I mean, they do a good job. I'm just saying those investors that make stupid mistakes can just go watch TV instead of actually help themselves.
Exactly.
Right. Let me just clarify that point just for a second. But hey, Jack, this has been fun. I appreciate the time, man. I wish we had more time. We'll have to talk about what's happening later in the year. We'll have you back because there's so much that I think is going to transpire between now and, say, early Q4, late Q3. So we'll definitely have you back, and I'm sure we'll bump elbows at a conference somewhere here in the next few months.
Yeah, sounds good. Would love to. Thank you, Abby. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Jack. I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
See ya. Think Realty Nation, the next segment is brought to you by Think Multifamily. Whether you're a passive investor looking for passive income or an aspiring syndicator ready to learn how to grow big fast, Think Multifamily is the industry's leading acquisition and education company. They're here to help you invest for your family's future. Visit www.thinkmultifamily.com. In a recent article, Michael Zuber wrote on thinkrealty.com, titled The Three Critical Areas of Risk Management. There's one area that he talks about that I really want to hone in on. So I'm going to have you do a little homework. You've got to go to thinkrealty.com and check the other two areas that he talks about. But this area specifically, operational turnover, is one that can make or break you. In this article, he says, quote, turnover is expensive and it can kill all your profit in a single year if you're not careful. That's why I recommend landlords look at their tenants and try to find the great ones. Too many people talk about the horror stories of being a landlord. Why not instead talk about the family that paid on time for the 12 months straight? Why not celebrate that? Why not reward that? Again, quote, too many landlords would rather focus on the process to remove the problem. Instead, I say focus on implementing processes to keep the great ones. So when we look at building for the future, right, again, put on your long-term investor hat, your long-term wealth building hat. And one of the folks that you should absolutely follow is Sonia Booker. She's the wealth builder. She's one of the resident experts for Think Realty. So go check her out as well on the .com, of course. But if you're wearing your investor wealth building hat, what you want to do is put these processes and systems in place so you are building for the future. One of the ways to do that is to pay attention to which tenants are doing well. And if you happen to have a portfolio of 20, 30, 40, 50 different properties, also pay attention to which property managers are doing the best and really invest and really go all in on those people. Because it's harder to replace a good tenant, and you never want to be in a position to do that, especially in a world where right now renting is significantly cheaper than owning property. So operational turnover, understand the processes and systems, maybe even use a CRM, and don't get me wrong, a CRM, the customer relationship management tool, don't let that scare you. It's actually not as scary as you think. It's an incredible way for you to leverage your time and help the technology help you do your job better. So keep that in mind, go use a CRM. But what Michael Zuber is talking about in this article is if you use the right processes and if you put in the right people, guess what happens to your turnover in operations? It decreases. What happens to efficiencies? Efficiencies increase. And naturally, your profits also increase. Think Realty Nation, that's the show. I want to give a huge shout out to Realty Track, who is the podcast sponsor for today. Realty Track is the leading source of foreclosure data for real estate investors and real estate agents. Receive the most up-to-date and trusted database of foreclosures, bank-owned properties, MLS listings, auctions, and short sales. Analyze property insights with comprehensive data and unlimited save searches with no need to pay per record fees. Visit realtytrack.com today to sign up and get started. And of course, to let you know that, listen, Think Realty Conference and Expo in Baltimore is coming up September 18th and the 19th. You want to get a 2-for-1 special on that ticket, go to thinkrealty.com/Baltimore and type in the code PODCAST, P-O-D-C-A-S-T, PODCAST. You want to register for 2 tickets, and then when you enter that code, you'll get 1 ticket for free. So it's a BOGO deal here at thinkrealty.com. So check it out, the Think Realty Hybrid Conference and Expo, September 18th and 19th. Set your sights on making 2021 success, or then the rest of 2021 a success with more knowledge and know-how by learning and networking with top-tier real estate investing pros. I'm going to be there. A lot of my friends are going to be there. You're going to be there, and I will see you in Baltimore. Think Realty Nation, it's been fun. Until next time, happy investing.